This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey Systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey Systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop you...
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and for the next hour they're going to be the views of Brian Karras, who's from England, and of course I've never met Brian, but I feel like I know him. I've seen his programs up there on YouTube as he talks about what is happening as far as England is concerned and the European Union and this effort to destroy the sovereignty of Great Britain, from which America's sovereignty as a nation originated. So many of the ideas that originated in Great Britain, the ideas of a parliamentary form of government, certainly were the foundation of our own Constitution. Brian, thank you so very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
All right, fine. Well, why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit about yourself and how it was that you became involved in this and getting articles up on the Internet, trying to spread information out about the truth of what's really going on today that the average individual, both in your country and mine, don't understand.
Well, until 1993, I was a naval officer. And then I left the Navy and I started a small business in Plymouth, in the southwest of England, and after a time I got interested in trying to help the local community, and together with another ex-naval officer we worked to try and set up a little scheme which was to provide jobs and skills training for local unemployed people, particularly younger people. And although we had a great deal of enthusiasm from local people, we found that the whole project was blocked, and initially we couldn't understand this, but then we began to learn about a particular organisation called Common Purpose, and this organisation, although calling itself a charity, was actually working to install a new political order. And we've, since that time, if I go back to about 1998, we've been researching this organisation, and we have been spending a lot of time trying to expose it and to warn other people about its activities, because essentially we have a political charity at work.
All right, now what is the purpose, the real thrust of Common Purpose?
Well, Common Purpose says quite clearly that it's to select and train future leaders, and what it is actually doing is putting people through a program which is changing their belief system. And if there's some of your listeners who think this sounds far-fetched, they can research on the internet themselves, and they should be looking for a subject called neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, which is a form of hypnosis, but it can be used on individuals or groups of people. And essentially we are sure that this organization is reframing, this is the correct term, reframing people and changing their outlook on society.
Well, now why would they oppose what you were doing? You were just trying to be helpful.
because at the moment in the United Kingdom, it is obvious that we have a new political regime installing itself, and that regime does not want the individual to have power. It doesn't want the individual to be self-sufficient, or for the person to be self-sufficient. We are looking at a state which wants to treat people as more or less slave workers. And I know this is emotive language, but it is becoming more and more apparent that the ordinary...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here with Brian Garris. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. My guest this afternoon is Brian Garris, and you could tell from his accent that he's an Englishman. He was a naval officer, and when he retired from the Navy, he and another friend tried to set up an organization to help young people to become productive and be self-sufficient, and he found, to his amazement, that there was a tremendous opposition to what he was doing. I mean, who could be against trying to help people to be, you know, independent and self-sufficient? And he found there was an organization called Common Purpose. And they had an agenda to take people and alter their outlook on the world, on society. They used various types of programming. One of them is called neuro-linguistic programming. It's a technique, more or less, of a hypnosis, but by which they're able to gain control of minds, because their purpose is to change the way people look at themselves, their relationship to society, and the basic thrust is to do away with these concepts of individualism. We're not to be individuals. We're simply to go along with the state, with what government wants. In fact, of course, we know, if you're listening to our programs regularly, that there's an organized effort to create a world feudalistic system under a small group of very wealthy and powerful people, and everybody else will then be reduced to the condition of serfdom. And people say that could never happen. It could never happen in America, and certainly it couldn't happen in Great Britain. Unfortunately, it is happening, and you try to tell people what's really going on today, and you'll often see their eyes sort of glass over. Victims of modern education here in America, and I'm sure it's very, very similar over in Great Britain, where the schools are not intent upon education, they're intent upon indoctrination and controlling the minds of the children. So you pick up the story from there, Brian.
Well, you've taken it to a very, very important point, because one of the areas that we have been investigating over the last 6 months in particular is a new initiative which is to place schools into the hands of large private corporations. And this is a program which has been started by Mr. Gordon Brown and the Labour Party, who are the present government. They've started an initiative for so-called academy schools, and these are schools that will be built and run by very large corporations, including large military corporations. And what they have done is said that those military corporations are allowed to set the curriculum. So we have a situation...
Hold that thought, please, Brian. We'll be back in just a moment here with our stations. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Brian Garris, and he's commenting that over in Great Britain, where these things are going on, where they're using neuro-linguistic programming, these ideas, certainly on the young people in their schools, now they're introducing private schools that will either be run by military corporations or other corporations. The whole idea is being introduced by Gordon Brown's government, and of course, these programs are aimed at indoctrinating the children, and the whole idea, you know, is really to control the minds of the children. One only has to go back to the writings of Bertrand Russell in 1953 in his book The Impact of Science on Society, where he talked about through diet and injections and injunctions, we're going to be able to so mold the mind of the child that he will never be able to think independently of what he has been taught by a schoolmaster. Now, that was 1953, and of course, these things have been going on for a long time, but now they're getting them perfected, so pick the story up there.
Well, we are seeing very clearly that the intent is to take control of the mind of the children. We are seeing the school curriculums, particularly in these academy schools, being dumbed down we're getting rid of proper subjects, sciences and skill-based subjects, and we're seeing the children being given more, we call them touchy-feely subjects. And in addition to that, we are seeing schools where they are now bringing into the school social workers. They are giving the children counselling sessions. Whether the child is a problem child or not, they are going to be counselled. And we're even seeing police being brought into these schools. So we've got new schools being built that, far from being sort of open, relaxed environments, are actually almost more like a prison than a school. And I'm absolutely serious when I tell you that people who have seen the architecture of some of these modern schools are commenting on the lack of windows. Now, if any of your listeners out there know a little bit about how you interfere with people's minds, one of the key things is to put them in a room with no windows. And we have been absolutely stunned to see modern schools being built with all of these attributes. And there is only one answer, and that is that you are looking to actually change the children's minds during their time in school.
And if you said this is something a big done, you know, in the United States, been done for a long time here. I like to say our children know a lot more about sex than they do a lot about Shakespeare. They know a lot more about Madonna than they know about mathematics. Our children are firmly convinced, you know, the world is overpopulated. They know that. They've been taught in school. They believe in global warming. They believe that we all should be environmentalists. And, of course, we should be environmentalists, but they emphasize all the wrong things. They seldom ever hear the truth in school today, and they'd be far better off in many instances if they could get away from that influence in the public schools and even in many of the Christian and private schools that is leading them away. Well, what is happening over in Great Britain? Do people really understand that there is a battle for the minds of the children and that they're wealthy and powerful people who want to change the attitude of the child from being an individual to become a cog in this wonderful new order that elitists like Gordon Brown and his followers are intent upon creating?
Well, some people are now starting to wake up. I think we can be optimistic. We can start to be optimistic because in the last 3 months in particular, we have started to see people who at least are asking a question. They're saying something's wrong. They can't quite put their finger on it, but they know that something's wrong in society. And the fact that in schools now we're bringing in fingerprinting of children, and this is being done in some school as a game, but they're getting the children to give their fingerprints. In other schools, they've installed special equipment in the libraries whereby as the children use the computer mouse, they're actually having their fingerprints recorded. Now, we ask a simple question. Why would you want to record the fingerprints of children? So parents who are being told about this are actually starting then to ask the questions. Why is this happening? They feel uncomfortable with it. But I still think that many parents just do not realize how serious it is. The government is looking to take their children, and they really want them as little drones. They don't want them as thinking people, and they certainly don't want them as Christian. They want them as a little robot fed on humanistic values.
Well, somebody had actually sent me, even before we had this this radio program scheduled, somebody had actually sent me a YouTube program that you'd done up there on the Internet. Are the people over there beginning to get to the Internet and realizing that this is the only way they have of getting the truth? They're certainly not going to get it through your major newspapers.
They're certainly not going to get it through the major newspapers because, as is the case in America, a relatively small number of people control both the television channels and the major newspapers. And so the internet at the moment is a very important means for people to get information around, and we can see that the other side understands this, because in the last few months we've now got the European Union starting to propose rules in order to stop people being able to have free access to the internet. So it's obvious to us that as ordinary people start to use the internet as a means to communicate and find the truth, we've now got the European Union looking to actually close it down. And I can tell you that we're not as lucky as you are in America, in that you do have independent radio stations, whereas in this country, even the smaller radio stations are now government controlled. So we live in a world of propaganda in the United Kingdom now. It's very obvious.
Well, I hope you can get some of your supporters to watch or to go to our website, radioliberty.com, where they can listen to our radio programs 9 hours a day and hear some of our good friends on the same satellite uplinks. But we do have an opportunity to reach people through not only internet, but shortwave and radio, and even some satellites. People can actually buy inexpensive satellite receivers and get the truth. Well, basically, of course, what we're seeing, of course, is this whole idea going along with what I believe is this effort to bring about this one world government under a ruling elite. Are the people over there aware of the fact that there's an effort to do away with the sovereignty of Great Britain and certainly mold you, first of all, into the European Union and then, of course, into this world government under the new rulers?
Well, again, some people understand it very well, and we would say they're pulling their hair out trying to inform other people as to what is happening. But we're still finding it's a great battle to get people to understand the seriousness of the situation. I don't know whether you've been able to see any international news which covers England at the moment, but I can tell you there's the most enormous row going on, because the whole of our parliament, every MP, has been involved in what I regard as the fraudulent use of public money. And we've already had two MPs dismissed. We've got people from the House of Lords being dismissed because they have been misappropriating public money. And what I believe this is, and I know other people believe this, is that there is now an effort to undermine our parliament, because our parliament is to be finished and we are to be ruled by the so-called European Parliament in Brussels. But it's quite amazing, even though we are seeing this happen and we know we can read documents telling us it's going to happen, it is still very difficult to get ordinary people to actually stand back and see what's happening. But there are extraordinary things going on in UK at the moment. The country is slowly being dismantled from the inside. The schools don't work, the hospitals don't work, the transport system doesn't work. Our military is being cut back. And one of the things that is very obvious is that nothing to do with Christianity is to be allowed to survive. We can see this very clearly. There is a vicious attack on Christianity at the moment.
Let's go to the common denominator behind this whole thing, because, of course, as we look at it from this side of the Atlantic, why it's very obvious that we're involved in a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, cultural, and now certainly on a financial battlefield. Is the economy over there collapsing? Because perhaps this will be the only way they're going to get people's attention and get them to realize that something is seriously wrong and they're being betrayed by their leaders. Are you having, as a nation, serious financial problems?
Oh, absolutely. We have seen extraordinary things with the national finances, in that we have had banks collapsing in the same way that they have been in America, and we've had the government saying that it can find £900 billion in order to bail out banks. But we have a government who cannot find the money to run hospitals or schools.
Well, except, of course, for government officials. I'll never forget talking to the chief of orthopedics in Edinburgh, who told me, you know, when it came to elective surgery on his patients, if you had elective surgery, they put you on a list, they never got to you, unless, of course, as he said, you are a commissar, meaning, of course, you work for the government, and then you can get the highest quality of medical care immediately. But when you're just a commoner, just a common citizen, tax-paying citizen, working for a living, of course, you are relegated to the second class. You're put on a list, they never get to you. But socialism doesn't work. Unfortunately, we seem to be adopting that here in America, knowing full well it's not going to work, except, of course, for the elite. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, Brian, certainly your problems in Great Britain are very, very similar to ours, although we don't seem to have the common purpose over here. Well, who is financing this organization?
Well, it's being financed by the public sector, because one of the big cons, the fraud with the organization, is it calls itself a charity, but if you look at where it takes money, it overwhelmingly comes from the public sector. So it comes from city authorities, and it comes from government sources. And this is why it is so easy. When you know what you're looking for, it's so easy to see that the whole agenda of this organization is coming straight through the political scene. But I wonder if I may just jump back to the banks.
You go right ahead.
Because we are seeing major collapse in this country now. We're seeing the unemployment rising. We're seeing we are seeing companies go to the wall as a result of this financial situation. And the key to this is the fact that we have private banks charging the government and individuals, therefore, large amounts of interest when we could solve the whole problem by simply printing our own proper money and issuing that money as the country needs.
But of course, you have the Central Bank of England that was formed there in 1694 by William Paterson, which of course is really one of the most important financial institutions in the world, and they're the ones that create your money. You don't create it. In fact, they're above your government. In fact, most of the people who really have studied the government of Great Britain realize that it's not that the Parliament, you know, controls the Bank of England. The Bank of England ordinarily controls the Parliament.
It does control Parliament, and this is actually one of the other things that started to happen now. People are asking the question, who actually runs the Bank of England, and therefore who is actually in control of our money supply? And something I discovered recently, and I was amazed, is that a Member of Parliament is not allowed to ask questions about the Bank of England in Parliament. So we have a situation where an unknown group of people are controlling our nation's money supply, and our own members of Parliament are not able to ask questions about it. And this is where the nub of the problem comes, that we have private bankers effectively conducting usury, charging excessive interest. And this is what is controlling the whole of the country's money supply. And I believe that these same bankers are working in cahoots with the Federal Reserve in America. And these people are causing the problem in our society.
I think you're absolutely right. If you have a chance, if you go to my website, radioliberty.com, my newsletter, my latest newsletter in March, actually, quotes a professor, probably the leading historian of the last century, who wrote about this sort of thing in a book called Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. His own trouble was it was such a good book that somebody bought up the publisher, Macmillan, and destroyed the place of the first half of the book. And it's only by chance that we were able to actually get the book back in print, but it is in print. And they talk about this. In 1844, the people in the British Parliament tried to regain power over the monetary system, and they didn't. They do not control it. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Brian Garrison. He's expressing his concern about what's happening in his country, where, of course, Bank of England is above the Parliament. Parliament, the duly elected representatives of the people, has no control over the monetary system, which is controlled by the Bank of England, which works in cahoots with the Federal Reserve System and these two central banks, working, in my estimation, with the central banks of the remainder of the world. Really are the ruling force in the world, far more power than government. Governments are simply there to give the public the impression that they have some say about what's going on. But it is really the money power that directs the course of society. So pick the story up there, Brian, and your concern, and what are you, the awareness of the English people, who at least some of them are beginning to wake up and question what really takes place in the city. In fact, could you explain the city to our listeners? I doubt that most people in America have never even heard of the city, the most powerful place of centralization of power in all of Great Britain. Most people have never heard of it.
Well, this is a story. It's a true story, but it's a story which is beginning to slowly creep out into the papers. And the key part of it is that a small section of London, the square mile, as it's called, contains absolutely vast wealth, with insurance companies and banks and trading companies and the hedge funds. And so that within one small section of London, we have, it's effectively a separate society called the city. And that area of London is controlling vast empires of wealth. And those people, it is becoming more and more obvious that those financiers and those businessmen, the people running the huge corporations, are actually, it's like they live and work in a separate society, a separate state.
Well, isn't this actually a separate part of London? It does not come under London laws. It has its own wall. It's a walled city. It has its own mayor. It has its own police force. It is totally separate than the crown. In fact,
well, even the Queen has to be led into that area, which is an indication, when you know what you're looking for, that the people who run it are even running the Queen.
Absolutely, and people.
And I will admit to your listeners that 10, 12 years ago, I didn't see these things. I was like other people, that I looked at events and they seemed normal. But now I'm looking at things and there's clearly something wrong, because we have a group of immensely powerful financial men and some women, and they are actually controlling the government and politics of our country. And this is a situation which we are now paying for, because these people are not benevolent dictators. They are malevolent. They are leading us into an extremely dangerous future. And I have been working with a number of other volunteers in UK. We're giving talks, we're producing papers and videos warning people that these people are leading us into a very vicious dictatorship. And it's very frustrating sometimes to know how you get people to see how this story is unfolding. But there is a new world order being built. We've got Gordon Brown using the phrase, and we are seeing it happen. And in the new world order, the ordinary person will effectively be a slave. I believe that totally.
In fact, at the recent meeting of the G20, I don't know whether that was in London or where that was held, but at the meeting of G20, which I think Gordon Brown largely presided over, and at the end of the meeting he got up and he talked about the new world order that is coming. And, of course, this is why I believe we have the financial crisis. I believe this is going to be utilized to so create chaos throughout the world. And as you destroy the monetary system in my country and in yours and in countries throughout the world, when the whole thing implodes, as Henry Kissinger says, it is a January 12, 2009 article in the International Herald Tribune, the nations will have two choices. One will be the new international order. The other will be chaos. And who out there, what government would dare to have chaos Well, obviously, then the solution. Give up your sovereignty, join the new international order, give up the freedom of your people. But, of course, the leaders will be well cared for. They'll get their health care. But, of course, the common people in your country and in mine will be put on a waiting list, and we'll just sort of never get to them. Ladies and gentlemen, we're moving to socialized medicine in this country. It'll be rationed health care. They intend to destroy the value of our currency, your pensions, your annuities, your savings, your everything that you have, your life insurance policy. They know exactly what they're doing, and our leaders are working in concert with the men who control the city. And you've probably never heard of it. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest is Brian Garris. We're talking about certainly what is going on in Great Britain, an organization named Common Purpose that is setting up and working in conjunction with those who want to control the minds of the youth of the society. Before we get back to the financial subject, well, let's stick with the financial subject. Maybe we get to the other things later, but I share your concern. And you know, of course, it may be truly a blessing as these as corporations collapse, as the banks collapse. Perhaps people out there are going to begin to question what this is really all about and how it came about. Shirley, do you find an increasing concern among your people there?
We do. And one of the things that has started some people thinking is that particularly older people or people who are coming up to retirement are suddenly now finding that their pensions are worth, in some cases, 30% less than they were a few months ago. And so the change in the financial system has started to bite really quite quickly. And people are now saying, how is this happening? It's beginning to hurt them. Whereas if we go back 5 years ago, people were, I call it, fat and happy. They were well fed, they were having their holidays, life was very good, and so they didn't really care what was happening politically. But what is now starting to wake them up is that the financial system is actually hurting them in their pockets. So yes, that is beginning to wake people up. And the other thing which I think is happening in UK which is making a difference is the surveillance society. It is very, very obvious now in UK. Everywhere you go, there are surveillance cameras. There's about 4.5 million cameras in UK. And I was in London today, and as you walk around on every street, you are being watched by a camera.
Hold that thought for just a moment, Brian. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Brian was just saying he was in London today. Every place you look, every street you go down, there's a camera watching you. And, of course, they have about 4.5 million cameras watching the British people. And he feels that they're moving towards a surveillance society. I know they're moving towards a surveillance society. They're moving towards it here. Everyone who's listened to this program sometime between now and the end of 2010 will have their house marked by a GPS locator. They've hired 140,000 so-called census takers, but the census isn't until next year. But they're going around to houses now, and they get close to your house. They simply mark the GPS localizer, and then they get the exact coordinates of your home onto the giant base. But of course they're not just doing it here in the United States. It's a worldwide program. Every little mud hut over in Africa, every little shack and shanty town in South America and in India, they're all being marked. as part of a gigantic program so that they can monitor and control every living human being. Why would any rational person want to do that? Well, because we're not dealing with rational people. We have people who have a different agenda, who believe in a ruling elite who will rule the world, and for the first time in all recorded history, this is actually possible today. And since they control the wealth of the nation, and they can, of course, use the wealth of the American people to help finance this throughout the world, this is why we're transferring our wealth throughout the rest of the world to facilitate bringing in this one world government. Well, before we go on, Brian, I'd like you to go ahead and get out your website, how people can get in touch with you, perhaps see your YouTube programs, and understand that you have very, very similar problems in Great Britain to what's going on today. This is part of a coordinated worldwide program to have freedom become simply a remembrance of some distant past.
Okay, well, I'd like, if I may, to mention three websites. I'll do it slowly. But together with the volunteers, we run a newspaper. We produce somewhere between 50,000 and 100,000 newspapers a month. And you can see that on the website www.ukcolumn, that's as in Nelson's column, ukcolumn, C-O-L-U-M-N .org, ukcolumn.org, that's the site for our newspaper. I have a site exposing common purpose, which is www.cpexposed.com, C-O-M. And the last one, which in a way is the most important one, together with many other people, we have now started a movement to get lawful rebellion amongst people in the United Kingdom. And I'd like to talk a bit, but the website is www.thebc, for British Constitution, thebcgroup.org.uk. And it's really this last one which I think is so important, because we have decided that we need to do something different in order to try and get people to wake up. And I'm delighted to say we're getting a fantastic response.
Well, do the people over there understand the significance of the Fabian Socialist Movement or the Royal Institute for International Affairs, which is one of the chief coordinating groups in Great Britain, in fact, throughout the British Empire, for this move towards world government?
They didn't understand it. But one of the things that we started to do when we were giving talks and when we were writing and producing material on the web, is we started to tell people the truth. And in the past, a lot of people have said quite rightly that things need to happen to stop this march towards the new order, but people have shied away from telling people the truth. But what we have been doing is giving them the truth, even though a lot of it is not nice. So we have been talking about the Fabian Society. We've been saying, and you touched on this just now, a lot of people find it difficult to believe that we still have people in the world who are absolutely evil. They don't have the same morality as us. They don't feel for their fellow men. They are happy to be unbelievably wealthy while people are starving in the world. And so one of the key things is for ordinary people to start to be educated about subjects like the Fabians, people who want to control in an elite society. And we need to explain these organizations so that ordinary people can understand what's happening to them.
In fact, one of the really great experiences I had was going over to London and Trafalgar Square is sort of one of the centers there for the people. I'm sure Brian knows this, but you walk around Trafalgar Square and there's, of course, the Commonwealth Club, where the Roundtable magazine was published. That was a front for Cecil Rhodes' secret society aimed at creating a world government. And number 10, Downing Street, and then the headquarters of the Fabians. And then, of course, the headquarters of the Royal Institute for International Affairs, all within walking distance of Trafalgar Square. I mean, it was really, of course, it's just being sort of like part of history. There was, of course, Buckingham Palace, all within just within a mile of Trafalgar Square. That's sort of the center of so much of what's going on in the world today.
These organizations, which, again, I'll say that I have started to learn about over the last 10 years, but many other people have been researching for 30 or 40 or 50 years about organizations. They're real, they exist, you can see documentation on them, and in many cases their own documentation says what they're going to do. The Fabian Society has a logo which is a sheep in wolf's clothing. So they're giving you a hint straight away that they are something rather different from what they initially appear. There's another window which was commissioned to do with the Fabian Society, where it shows men hammering the world into a different shape. But their technique is, instead of doing it rapidly so that people understand it, they do it slowly, a little piece at a time, and then the average person doesn't realize that these changes are taking place.
And that was a stained glass window at Ombre St. Mary, that's about 50 miles south of London there, where the Beatrice Webb House was. And of course, that's sort of where the people from the Socialist International meet there, regularly to plot how they're going to take over the world.
This is absolutely true. These meetings are taking place. And if we take an individual, excuse me, like Tony Blair was chairman of the Fabian Society, and we have a man who has come in and undertaken ruthless change in the country. He's made himself millions of pounds. He's left a terrible situation in the country, and now he's moving on to set up faith foundations, where he's going, apparently, to help create a one-world religion. So these are very dangerous people who believe in what they're doing. They think in their own minds that they're doing a great deal of good, but if you stand away from what they're doing, you can see that they are elitist people. And something that's now started to be talked about in UK is reducing the population. We have had a policy of an open door on immigration for very many years, so our population is now up around the 60 million. That may sound small by America, but we're a very small island, so that's a lot of people. And now we've got individuals saying that the population should be 30 million. What they're not telling us yet is how they're going to reduce the population, but they're definitely going to work for it.
Well, I have no question that they will succeed if you are unable to expose them. There really are people who talk about the necessity of killing off 90% of the world population. We actually have a DVD called Endgame that actually shows you pictures and quotations from a professor at the University of Texas who openly advocates the killing of 90% of the world's population. Of course, he got a standing ovation when he suggested that. Same thing happened at the...
Well, Dr. Stan, if I come back to the schools, and the researchers working with us and with other groups are now starting to see the subject of eugenics brought back into the schools. Now, for listeners who are not familiar with that term, eugenics was the early study of races, and it was the eugenics program which, in Nazi Germany at least, turned into the goal of a master race. Now, the eugenics program, which we haven't heard about for very many years in UK, is suddenly coming to the surface again. And as I'll give you one example, there is a government-sponsored dance group that has been touring schools, and in dance and drama, it's been encouraging children to think about eugenics. And these are very dangerous methods of starting to influence children.
Well, of course, Malthus was around. He was an Englishman. Galton followed him. This was a time of early 1800s, mid 1800s. They were pushing eugenics and, of course, a mass genocide at that time. And then, of course, was picked up here in America by Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. And then her close association with the people from Germany, people like Ernst Rudin. And, of course, Adolf Hitler was simply continuing Margaret Sanger's programs, basically on getting rid of the inferior races like the Gypsies and the Blacks and the Jews. This is what it was really all about: doing away with people who had mental problems, doing away with the elderly, the so-called useless eaters. And that's exactly what Obama is advocating. We have to have a means of rationing access to health care. I mean, we want to provide health care for everybody, but we have to have a government bureaucracy determining how it's going to be utilized. And I think that the program you have over there in Great Britain will look like utopia next to what's going to be happening here in the United States as we go into socialized medicine. But eugenics is a very important part of all of these concepts. So, you know, and there really are people who do want to kill off most of the people in the world, and anybody who doubts that is official government policy needs to get National Security Study Memorandum 200. We have it here. Came out in 1974 over the name of Henry Kissinger, who said, you know, we need to limit the population throughout the world because these other countries will get large populations and they'll come to challenge the predominance of the United States. Of course, we're going to try to tell them, oh, we want to help mothers and we want to prevent poverty. But that was not it at all. It was all about control and about power. And of course, the English government and the American government have worked on that throughout the world, destroying the populations of nations throughout the world, as we're destroying the population of Africa today with the AIDS epidemic and malaria, and not doing what is justified to preserve human life. In Zimbabwe, where the United States government has controlled that country since, well, Great Britain and the United States established the government of Mugabe there in 1980, the average life of the black man has gone from 64 years of age to 34 years of age. American and English tax dollars at work. Go right ahead, Brian.
Yes. Everything you're saying, I agree with. We are seeing these terrible policies being put into practice, but it's done with deceit. So we see British and American government, we see the United Nations talking about helping people with food supply and helping with medicines. They talk about doing good things, but what they're actually doing with the other hand is the exact opposite. And if I focus on United Kingdom and England, I know what's happening here, I live here. We have now fluoride being put into our water supply, a highly toxic substance which we're told is good for our teeth.
It's good for population control. It destroys fertility and the heart and lowers the IQ and makes people more docile. That's what it's
Absolutely,
about.
Absolutely, but we're now starting to put it in water supplies, and when people locally who understand what this chemical is complain, they are stamped on. They are treated as if they are ignorant people. So we see a very, very increasingly domineering government telling us what we have to accept.
I think what you need to do is try to put them on the defensive, say, why do you hate children? Why is the government trying to hurt children? Somebody just called in, wants you to repeat your websites for the listeners. Would you mind doing that?
Yes, certainly. You might have to help me. It's probably a bit of my accent.
You're doing just fine.
There's three main websites. The first one is the newspaper, which is www.ukcolumn. That's UKCOLUMN, as in Nelson's column, ukcolumn.org. www.cpexposed.com. And the last one, which I would like to mention, what we're doing before the end of the show, if I may, But the last one is www.thebcgroup. BC stands for British Constitution, but it's thebcgroup, all one word, .org.uk.
All right, fine. You go right ahead. What were you point you wanted to make about what you're doing now?
Well, the key thing is that we understand too well now that the political situation in this country has locked us into a game. We have a two-party system in UK, which is either Labour, who are presently in power, or the Conservatives, which is Mr. David Cameron. Some of you may have heard about him. And when things get really bad, people vote for the other party, and when the other party gets in, life continues just as it was before. So we are being treated as idiots, and the two-party system is really two parties working together, and they continue this slide towards the New World Order. Now, what we have started to do is we've started to rebel, and we are allowed to do this within common law, and that is to say no. And so we don't want to see either the Tories, the Conservatives or Labour back in power, or the Liberal Democrats. We want to get good, honest ministers back into Parliament to vote on their own consciences.
Well, I congratulate you. We'll do everything we can. In fact, I would like to get you back on, Brian. I feel a certain camaraderie with you. You obviously have a great grasp of what's going on. We'll be back in just a moment here to finish up the program. Brian, we have 3 minutes to wrap up the program. Go right ahead.
Well, I think it's very easy to talk very dark subjects. We're talking about the population being controlled. We're talking about food supplies being interfered with. We've got vaccinations. These are all very dark, heavy subjects. Can we do something about it? And the answer is yes. And the simplest thing for people to do, and it doesn't matter whether they're in Britain or America or Germany, the simplest thing to do is when you know what is happening, talk to other people about it. Tell your friends, tell your neighbours. And together with that, what happens when you do that is the message spreads, and then confidence builds amongst ordinary people, and they then have the confidence to say, no, we're not accepting these new laws. We won't put up with this. And it's really this simple rebellion, the ability to say no, which is the thing which turns the situation around. And we've been absolutely delighted how just putting this into the public domain in a few areas, we're now getting more and more people calling into us saying, yeah, we really believe we can do things. So before we had people who were submitting to this horrible regime, we're now starting to see people say no. And that doesn't mean violence. Because if people become violent, it enables the government to clamp down with all of the terrorist legislation and the emergency powers. So I would say to people in America, and we're certainly saying it to people in UK, rebel, say that you are not putting up with what the governments are doing, but you do it in a peaceful way. It was done in India, a peaceful rebellion, and it can be, well, I believe it is more powerful than people who want to use violence.
And the important thing is for people to understand that freedom, once lost, will never be regained. You still have the ability to take a stand against the tyrants. There really are people who have a different agenda, who have a different worldview, because personally I believe that many of them worship a different God. They really do want a one-world government, and they want to destroy Christianity. Well, our guest has been Brian Garris. It's been a pleasure to have you with us, Brian, and I do hope we can get you back on again, perhaps on a regular basis every month or two.
Well, it's been a pleasure to talk again, and I'll wish everybody in America well, and don't forget to pray, because this is terribly important.
God bless, you're right. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we do hope you enjoyed our program with Brian Garrison. Of course, his admonition, pray, because this is important. This is what it's all about. This is a spiritual battle that's being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield. A battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. These are not empty words. This is a very real battle. And so we would hope that you would certainly get our material. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to go to our website, RadioLiberty.com. Pull down our newsletters, specifically pull down the November, December, January, February, March newsletters, and understand these powerful spirits of forces that are intent upon destroying the land of the free and the home of the brave. This is not imaginary. There really is, and has been, going back for several centuries, this movement to once again join America and Great Britain in the common purpose of bringing about a world government under the Anglo-Saxon race and dominate everybody else, but then dominate the average people in both Britain and the United States and create a ruling elite. And this is why you need, of course, to get our new, syllabus we put out, the membership of the Brotherhood of Darkness, and we have all the list of the names of all the people, whether it be the Group of 30, or the CFR, the Bilderbergers, or the Trilateral Commission, that now controls the Obama administration, just like it controlled the Bush administration, and the Clinton administration, and the first Bush administration, and the Reagan administration, and the Carter administration. Indeed, since 1976, every president and or vice president has a member of this little club of elitists called the Trilateral Commission. Every president and or vice president since 1976 to 2008. If that happened, why hasn't anybody told you? Because they control the media and they don't want you to know. But behind the Trilateral Commission are powerful spiritual forces. Look at their logo. If you're paranoid, you may look at it, and you can find it up on the internet at trilateral.org. You might see three sixes on the inside of the three arrows, but there's no question what's in the center, an upside-down broken cross. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly we have our other item is there. You need to get my talk on the forbidden secret and the syllabus that goes with that. The forbidden secret, you need, of course, to get, if you're interested in finances, you need to get our new 4-CD set on Financial Armageddon. The talk I gave back in 2006 on the financial tsunami syllabus that tells you exactly what was going to happen, and if you'd followed our advice this time, you'd be a lot more wealthy. But I'm not a financial advisor. I'm simply an observer of history. We have a great new book we're carrying, Thomas Wood's book, Meltdown, gives you an excellent overview of what's happening financially and what needs to be done. He doesn't understand the conspiracy, but he sure has done a great job on sound economics. We have the Russ Baker's book, Family of Secrets, the story of the Bush family and their affiliation with the CIA, and of course all the lies that they've told, and George Herbert Walker Bush's association with the CIA, even going back to the time of the Kennedy assassination. Fascinating information. So give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Remember, we're going to be having the Conspiracy Conference June 6th and June 7th. That's June 6th and June 7th. If you want, of course, to go, it's a Saturday and a Sunday. And, of course, the telephone number is 925-449-6844. 925-449-6844. Or if you prefer, go up on the Internet at conspiracycon.com. Don't forget the Radio Liberty all-day conference on the 25th of October. Mark it down. We're going to have a great lineup of speakers. Lunch will be served, and it'll be a good time for all. And then, of course, we ask you to pray for America.